I am right now. You are right now the richest person on this entire planet. Do you believe that? Oh, no, no, listen, I'm rich. You're rich. You have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Right Attitude About Money, in his continuing study from the New Testament epistle of 1 Timothy. Now, Pastor Bill.
How do we express our trust to God, who has given us richly all things to enjoy? Look at verse 18. He says, let them do what? Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Let them do good. The word do good, even though you see it throughout the New Testament, this phrasing here is only found right here in the New Testament. So it means do what is noble and do what is excellent in your life. Why? Well, God says, I want you to be rich in good works. Listen, good works are filled with power. Did you know that when you do them for God? They're powerful. Loved one, they change people's lives. Do you know that the world sees you? The Bible tells us this in Matthew 5:16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see with their eyes your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what makes our light shine? It's when we do good works for God. In other words, that's when God is glorified. Now, to not do good for the believer means you are out of the will of God. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence, or that word means muzzle, you may muzzle the ignorance of foolish men. Number one, we are commissioned by God. When we're in his will is you go out and you do good. And not only that, it says it should muzzle foolish people. They should be so stunned by what believers do, what the church does, that it just blows them away. Matter of fact, they can't even speak. It puts a muzzle on them. They're silenced by our good works. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with good. Do you know the devil, the wicked one, Satan, he is the enemy of all that is good. He hates good. He hates us to do good. And how do we conquer evil? We just heard it. We conquer evil by doing good. Romans 12:9 says to cling or glue or cement yourself to what is good. John writes in 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Here it comes. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Do you know that when we do good, we do what God tells us to do? Do you know that is well-pleasing in his sight? And think about that we can please God by doing good. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 13:16, where it says, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, and sometimes it is a great sacrifice, it says God is well pleased. In Acts 10:38, remember how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Are we to do the same? Is God with us? Yes, he's with us. Is the Holy Spirit in us? Yes. Do we have giftings? Yes. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, if we say that we abide in him, meaning the Lord, if we say we live and dwell in the Lord, then we should walk even as he walked. In other words, wherever we go, we should free people through the word of God and the power of God. Amen? We should save people. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, that word means an open door that God opens for you. You didn't open it, God opens it. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, the Bible says. That means everyone, those in Christ, those outside of Christ. But then he says, especially those that are of the faith. So he says, don't just do good to your friends and your families. How about everyone? Be good to those. And listen to me, it doesn't take a certain level, that's the deception, a certain level of income to do good. Do you know that? I mean, do you have to be rich to make some cookies to take over to someone? No, or visit someone, or call someone. Does it take, you see what I'm getting at? It doesn't take that at all. You'll never do good works if you're preoccupied with what you do not have, loved one, believe me. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are in Christ, and since we are, we were created for good works before time began, and that we should walk in them. So good works should be the lifestyle of the believer. That should be our attitude. Matter of fact, you could go through the whole Bible, you'll find out that we should be zealous for good works. That's over in Titus, I believe. That we should maintain good works. That not only that we should be fruitful in good works, that we've been thoroughly equipped, it says, by the word of God for every good work, and be fruitful and so forth. And you know, you have to remember that God says you are a good work. Amen? So you know what we do? When you follow the good shepherd, you'll do good things to others. It's just that simple. Now look at it. Let them do good. We've learned that one. What is another attitude? It says that they be ready to give. You like that word? Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. What does that mean? It means to be generous. It says ready to give. Be generous. Be bountiful in your giving. Luke 6:38, give, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over into your bosom. And it is with the measure that you measure out, it'll be measured right back to you. What an incredible promise, amen? Yeah, you know, Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, watch lest prosperity destroy your generosity. That is a true word. And then he says, willing to share. The word share, we get our word, remember in the Greek, koinonia, like the Koinonia Cafe, meaning a place of intimacy. You see that someone has a need and it's a real need, not ripping you off and all of that. And you share with them. You go in fellowship with them and you say, you know what? I feel the Lord wants me to help you. So you're ready to give. You're willing to share. You know, today you shared. I pray you were generous. Today's Love Never Fails Sunday. You know, it's all about giving. And and we don't ask for money. Have you ever noticed that we don't ask for money here? Now, we do today, amen. But 100% of what you gave, where does it go? It goes to Mexico. It doesn't go here. It goes right there. That's for full support. 100% goes there. Even when the mission team leaves, it doesn't come out of the Mexico account. Do you understand? Yeah, that money is 100% sowed into the orphanage, the work that we do there. You know, so the foundational scripture of Love Never Fails International, you know that, where the orphanage is under LNFI as well as our local work, Halton Christian School. The Bible tells us this. The foundational scripture is Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity on the poor. Now, the word pity doesn't mean I feel sorry for you. It means I see your need. I do something about it. It's a hand up, not a handout. Amen? See, who hath pity upon the poor. Here it comes. Listen carefully. Lendeth unto God. We're going to make a loan to God. Doesn't that blow you away? Lendeth unto God. And here it comes. And he, God, will pay back what has been given. That is a promise from Almighty God. What does that mean? It's an investment that you can never lose. You can never lose. Listen, that scripture is the foundational scripture that has built Love Never Fails International, our Christian public charity, loved one. And it's done wonderful things. Amen. Now, so you cannot give God. The Bible tells us about giving in Psalm 41:1. Blessed is he who considers the poor. If you do that, it says, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Proverbs 14:21, he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Let me give you a lot of scriptures today. Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. That's not a good place to be, amen? How about this one? Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. There is so much wasted wealth in this world. There's so much wasted wealth in America. You know what I mean? Have you ever watched any of those reality shows about those? I can't 3 seconds, maybe 4 I can make it. You know, I mean, there's so much waste and opulence and all of those things. Listen, I don't want that said about us. Now, when we have the right attitude and when we obey verse 17 and 18, look at the fruit in verse 19 that it produces. It says storing up, when we do those things, we are doing something. We're storing up for themselves, storing up, that word literally means amassing a treasure, okay? So we are amassing a treasure for themselves, a good foundation. Now, that foundation is not here. That foundation is in heaven. It says, for it is for the time to come. We live in this present age, but we're giving, and the things that we do are for the age to come. They're in heaven and so forth because our works follow us, loved one. It says that they may lay hold of eternal life. Now, we know that this is not speaking about earning your salvation. Amen? Yeah, works can't save, money doesn't save, or any of those things. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a bank account, a savings account, or CDs, or any of those things. It don't lay up these resources on earth where moth, rust, destroy, thieves break in and steal. Lay up your treasures, or lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth, rust, destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, present tense, there will be your heart also, future tense. Amen? So the result of all of that is that you may lay hold on eternal life. Now, what does that mean? We already have eternal life. The Ephesians, they already had eternal life. So it really should be translated and read in this manner, that they would lay hold of real life while they're here, that they would lay hold of real living while they're here on this planet. How? By investing in things that will last for all eternity. Isn't that amazing that your works follow you to heaven? The things that you do for others? Listen, to lay hold, that's a revolution. We're in a revolution here, I pray. And we'll be speaking more of that after we finish Timothy. But remember the revolution that we're in from 2022 to 2024. The fact is that the word lay hold of means to seize. I mean, to reach out and just seize it, take possession. Remember, the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it belongs to us. And so that's what he's saying, to lay hold of that real life. Turn in your Bibles with me to Luke 18, if you want, or your iPad, your iPhone, or you've probably memorized it anyway, don't need to turn. Luke 18, and let me look, verse 18. Listen to what Jesus is talking about, having the right attitude about money. He says, now a certain ruler, we know that to be the rich young ruler, asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do? What work can I do to inherit eternal life? So he comes to the right person. He's asking great questions, the right question. Jesus said to him, well, why do you call me good? There's no one good but one, and that is God. So Jesus is saying, are you calling me the Lord God? He says, well, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your mother, father. And he said, meaning the rich young ruler, you know the story very well. Well, all of these things I've kept from my youth. I love that the Gospels, Mark's Gospel, tells us that Jesus, about the same story, looked at him and loved him, meaning this guy was full of bull. He's from Texas, you know what I'm saying? And so forth. But Jesus, looking at this rich young ruler, did that save him? No, it didn't save him at all. Let's continue, verse 22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, well, you know, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Distribute to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And look what the invitation. And come. Come and follow me. The other gospel says, come, take up your cross and follow me. So the command, now listen carefully, the command to sell and distribute was given to only one man. It's not given to all of us. Only the, this is that one man and him alone. Jesus, again, he's not teaching salvation by works because eternal life is a gift. Amen? Now, so what is he saying? He's saying, you know what? You got a problem. And it's only one problem. Thou lackest one thing. And you got to get rid of it. And that's what's keeping you from being saved. And listen to me. Money should be in your hand, not in your heart. Amen? Yeah, don't. It should never be there. No, and Jesus goes and says, and watch what the rich young ruler did. It says, and when he heard this, he became very what? Sorrowful. Look at the reason. For he was very rich. Matthew's gospel says he went away. He left Jesus. He turned his back and he left and he went away sorrowful. And you know what? Jesus didn't go after him. He turned his back on the Lord and he left. He walked away from eternal life. That, loved one, is the deceitfulness of riches and the wrong attitude. He loved his money. He loved his possessions more than eternal life. Think about that. That was his question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? It's a terrible thing when you go to Jesus and you leave Jesus in a worse condition than you came. Amen? And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he was almost saved. He only lacked one thing. All he had to do was be obedient. So the rich man became the poor man because money was his ruler. And you know what's really sad? And I don't have time to cover all this, but he heard the command. Come, take up your cross and follow me. But he missed the promise that Jesus gave because he left. Had he stayed, he would have, remember what Peter came? Peter came and said, oh Lord, well then who can be saved? We've left everything and followed you. And the Bible tells us that Jesus looked at him and said, oh Peter, no man has left houses of family, mothers, father, for my sake, who will not in this lifetime receive a hundredfold return and in heaven. Amen? Yeah, he missed it. He missed all of it. I'm going to ask you a very important question. Do you truly, loved one, do you have the right attitude about money? Do you have the right attitude about finances and riches and so forth? Let me tell you what Jesus did for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. I mean, that means he emptied all of it for us. And that through his poverty might become rich. What does that mean? It means this. The Son of God left heaven and became the Son of Man. He became one of us yet without sin. Amen? And he died for us. He took our place. He came, the one who was rich, who owns everything, who created everything, who controls the entire universe. He made himself nothing. Why? For you and for me. Listen, that through you, his poverty, you might become rich. So what we were, poor, he became. What we are now, we are rich because of our Lord. Here is the only attitude a believer should ever have, and that is this: I am right now, no matter my situation, no matter my circumstances, because my circumstances change because God is in control of my life. I am right now, you are right now, the richest person on this entire planet. Do you believe that? Oh, no, listen, I'm rich. You're rich. You have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God has already chosen you in Christ before the foundation of this world. You are already sealed with the Spirit. You're accepted by God as he accepts his only begotten Son. Amen. You are rich. I mean, you are so rich, you can go to the throne room of heaven where all wisdom and all knowledge and all grace is found, and every need and all kinds of help is there for you. You're rich. You are justified, just as if you had never sinned because of what Jesus did and you believe in him. You've overcome this world. You're co-heirs with Christ. Paul said, all things are yours. All things are yours. Everywhere Jesus, everywhere God the Father is leading you, if you're truly being led by him, he is leading you in victory, no matter how you're hurting, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing. If you're really following him, he's leading you in victory. And not only that, you have been eternally redeemed, eternally purchased, oh, forever and ever and ever. Yet, look at the attitude of many in the church, endued with power from upon high, but unable to give, unable to do good, unable to be generous, unable to believe the promises of God, the God who cannot lie. I'm going to ask you a question because many of you, or a few, this is for you. Why are you worried about money? I told a young man yesterday, I looked him right in the eyes. I said, God will never, he will never, he will no never, he will never forsake you. He will never leave you without support. He will never relax his hold upon you. He will never, he will never, he will never. Don't be alarmed. Don't be seized with terror. Don't say, what man, oh, what can you do? What are you going to do to me? No, God says in his word, he says, listen, the Lord God, I am your helper. I'm your helper. Listen, if God is your helper, you don't need any more help. You're the only people on earth. Listen to me now. You see, money doesn't control you. The word of God controls you if you believe it. Amen. Believe in it. Hold on to it. Get out of debt. Ask God to get you out of debt if you're in debt. It doesn't about, listen, Peter didn't have a penny in his pocket when he walked on water. And money can't make you walk on water. But God can. He can make you walk on you over your problem and your circumstance if you'll believe him. Amen? We are the only people. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, don't be like the Gentiles, meaning the lost. Don't be like them worrying about what am I going to eat? What am I going to put on? Where am I going to stay? How am I going to get my car fixed? You know what I mean? He gave us a great command. He said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first. First. That's revolutionary talk. Seek ye first. The number one priority in your life if you have a need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The things that you need in this life, the things that you need to eat, the things that you need to wear, the home that you need to live in, the school you need to pay to have your kid in. Do you understand? Everything we need is there, but we have to believe. Without faith, you can't please God. You have to say, Lord, you said it. God will never, ever let you down. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's the psalmist. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed upon his faithfulness. Feed. Some of you are starving to death. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. That's the living word of God. Loved one, listen. You want to be rich? Come to Christ. You don't know Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen. I say this in full of love. If you don't come to Christ, you will be in poverty for all eternity. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I pray you have the right attitude about Jesus. If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord, if you've never asked him to be your Savior, you can right now. All you have to do is lift your hand and put it right back down, and I'll pray for you right there in your chair. You don't even have to get out of your chair. But if it's you, just lift your hand high so I can see it just for a second. Let me see. Is anyone here? Quickly. Well, Lord, I'm assuming that everyone here, they belong to you. But maybe those online, there's a few there, or listening on the radio. You can ask Christ to come into your heart right now, and you'll be the richest person in the universe too. Lord, we give you praise for this day, and I pray that we all have the right attitude about the wealth that you've given us richly to enjoy. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to begin the final message from his First Timothy series, and we trust you'll tune in once again. We want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. Be blessed today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.